All right, we're going to get going here. We'll let them continue to finish up the Lord's Supper. But I want to show you a picture. Anybody know who this guy is right here? All right, it's a little hard to see under here. That is Neil Young. Now, you might be wondering why he's starting off a sermon with Neil Young. Well, you'll figure it out here in a second. But Neil Young had a book that he brought out not too long ago. It was called Memoirs of a Life, Special Drunk Deluxe Memoirs of Life and Cars. Neil Young wrote that, and at the age of 69, as of last October, he writes about having dinner with his son Ben. Now, he had dinner with his son Ben at the same restaurant that he had first met Ben's mother Peggy 4 decades earlier. And Young writes this. This is what I want you to think about. He says, as I pulled into the parking lot of that restaurant, I felt the passage of time and how fleeting it is. In a silent prayer to the Great Spirit, I asked to be worthy of more time. There was still much to do. Now, you might be thinking, what exactly are on Neil Young's lists of things to do? And he said this, number one, love and happiness and enjoying the earth for what it's worth, which is an incredible place to be. And number two, protect the earth for the children and the grandchildren and their grandchildren and on and on and on. Those are the things that matter to him, he said. Those are the things that matter to him. Now, I want you to understand that, first of all, Neil Young is a pantheist, which means that he essentially attributes everything to creation. In fact, in an interview, he said, I'm not into organized religion. I'm into believing in a higher source of creation, realizing we're all just part of nature. So he would come at creation and the world from a different point of view than we would. A vastly different point of view. But what I found interesting is, when Neil Young was looking at his life and he's getting ready to meet his son, his mind is on the future and what could be instead of on the past. He's looking not at his... He's focusing not on his regrets and his failures, which we often do, but instead, he's got in mind what I like to call his bucket list items that he wants to accomplish. Now, let me ask you, before we jump into our text this morning, let me ask you, are you focusing on your failures or are you focusing on your future this morning? Or are you letting your past anchor you down or propelling you forward? I mean, how often do we think things like this? I wish I hadn't burnt those bridges. I wish I hadn't always stayed in my comfort zone. I wish I hadn't been a lazy husband or father or friend. And how often do we think to ourselves, I wish I would have spoken up. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have told people that I love them more. See, today I want us to move from our past to our future. Last week we looked at the prodigal son. We started looking at the prodigal son. And last week we talked about him longing for something more. This week's awakening, which also comes from the prodigal son, stems from this thought. I wish I could start over. How often have we thought that? I wish I could start over. I wish I could go back in time and choose differently. I wish I would have taken this other road, and if I would have taken that other road, I wonder where my life would be today. I don't know about you, but for some reason, there seems to be this deep desire within us to constantly second guess every decision we make. If we make a bad decision, I'm in the habit of doing this. When I make a bad decision, I replay that decision over and over and over and over and over and over in my mind. Constantly, over and over and over in my mind, I keep replaying that bad decision. And if I would have done this, or if I could have done that, or always feeling like I should have done better there. And yet at the very same time, if I make a good decision, you know what I do with that? I forget it instantly. Good decision,
Bad decision, repeat, 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 repeat. See, we often feel, I believe, we feel like we are stuck in the mud. We feel like we cannot change. We feel like we can't get off this path that we're on. We feel like we cannot climb out of this hole that we have dug for ourselves. And so we just feel like we cannot go farther. I wish I could start over. Well, the truth is that is exactly where the prodigal found himself. He found himself stuck in the mud. In fact, I want you to listen to his situation again. Luke 15, if you have your Bible, starting in verse 14 through 16. It says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. I don't know about you, but in looking at the prodigal, he had to be feeling stuck. He had to be feeling like this is the worst place I could be. And you got to recognize his situation. He has gone from great wealth to nothing. He has gone from partying to pigs. He has gone from being well fed to having hunger pains. And he finds himself stuck in the mud, living against all of his beliefs. If you're looking for a picture of being stuck, you find one here. You find one here in this text. And the truth is, we all know how that feels. We all know that our bad decisions combined with time of continuing those bad decisions have conspired against us in our minds, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a very bad situation, like we're stuck and we can't get out. I often think about James and what he wrote in the very first chapter of his letter, and I think his words describe me perfectly, but this is what it says, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And I read that and I think, that's exactly where I am. I have let my desires turn into sin, which turned into death in my life. And I feel like I'm stuck, just like the prodigal. Maybe you feel stuck too. But I want to listen to what the prodigal figures out. Starting in verse 17, this is what it says. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men or hired servants. There it is. There's where being stuck starts to get transformed in those six powerful words. When he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, all of a sudden there was a little bit of hope. When he came to his senses, there was this possibility of something better. When he came to his senses, he realized there's a way of escape. And he knows the way. I will go back to my father. Let me ask you this morning, no matter where you find yourself, have you come to your senses? I mean, are you ready to set out and head toward your heavenly Father? Maybe it's time for you and for me to start following in the footsteps of this prodigal, because he makes his way back, and my question to you is, will you make your way back as well? And so as we look at his steps, I want to just say these are the steps to getting closer to God, to stop living in the past and start living for a future. And here they are. First of all, you've got to regret your decisions. You've got to regret your decisions. The prodigal is not happy with where he finds himself. You know he has to be listing off all these regrets. He had to be thinking to himself as he's feeding the pigs, why didn't I save just a little bit of money back? Why didn't I invest instead of indulge? Why didn't I just stay home in the first place? Watching TV the other day and Captain Obvious comes on. He's sitting at some kind of table, in a poker table or something, I don't know. Anyway, he's saying, you can get a room for $1,000, and he loses half of it. You can get a room for $500, and he loses it. You can get a room for $100, he loses it. You can get a room for $25, but not here. And if you remember the dealer of this game, I guess it was 21, she says, well, you can come and stay with me, Captain Obvious. And what does he say? He says, I've already lost enough today. See, he understood. He understood what regret looked like. He was not happy with his decisions. He knew he had lost enough, and so did the prodigal. He knew that he had lost enough. We must get to the point where we start to realize, I regret the decisions I've made. That's the first step. By the way, when you get to that step, you're with everybody else, because in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one has gotten through this life without regret. No one. In fact, in 1 John chapter 1, he stresses it even more. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We are told throughout Scripture, we are all in a place where we have lived and made decisions that we regret. We're all at the same situation. So often we feel isolated from everyone else in our regrets. I'm the only one. I'm the worst of the worst. I'm just an idiot. But the truth is, everyone's in that same boat with you, living with bad decisions and regret. And honestly, regret can be a good thing if it motivates us to come to our senses and make a change and head back toward God. But at the same time, regret can be a bad thing if you use it as an excuse for continued bad decisions and destructive behavior. I want to tell you a story. The story is from Patricia Raybon. Her picture's on the screen there. She talks about her regret. I want you to listen to it. This is what she says. She says she's going to share her regret about and grief about carrying out two abortions. And this is what she writes. She says, I had told myself that an abortion would end my problems, not complicate them by bringing an innocent life into my own upheaval. She said, I swallowed Satan's lie, that is, then spit it out again, saying it in my own words. Then she shared this following letter that she wrote to her two aborted children. Dear babies, this is Mama. You will know my voice, I think, even though we were together for such a short time. I did a bad thing. I didn't trust God. I didn't understand that God would have made everything okay. I was like Peter, who looked at the waves, not at Jesus. And when he looked at the waves, he started to sink down, down, down. That's how I felt, like I was sinking down. When the doctors said you were growing inside of me, that's how I felt, so I didn't know how to love you. I was afraid. Oh, babies, I had made so many, many mistakes, and I was afraid. So I let fear convince me that more babies would just make things worse. Instead, look at what I did. I robbed us. First, I robbed you, taking your own lives. I didn't think I was strong enough, so I robbed myself of all the joy you would have brought me to. Brought all of us, your sisters, your family, and for each of you, your daddy. I thought we'd have more problems. That we didn't have enough money. That we didn't have enough time. That we didn't have enough love. But I just didn't know then that God is bigger. And God would make everything all right. I didn't know. I know you're in heaven waiting for us, waiting for me. I know you've been waiting, looking every day, wondering when I would get there. Oh, babies, I'm trying to get there, to learn what God wants me to learn so I can make it to you. She looks back at her life and she realizes, I made a bad decision. I regret my decision. I can't keep making this decision. But she doesn't leave it there. She moves on from there. She takes the next step, which is the very next step the prodigal took as well. And that is that we need to repent of your direction. Just like Patricia and just like the prodigal, we have a choice to make. Will I stay where I am or will I move toward God? So often people hear the word repent and they think to themselves, well, that's just a fancy word of saying I'm sorry. But it's much more than that. It's not just saying I'm sorry. Repentance is actually a change of our thinking, which leads us to a change in our direction. Repentance is more than I'm sorry. Repentance is I'm going to start viewing things like God views them, and I'm going to start walking in ways that God would want. In fact, I believe Paul is describing repentance in a powerful way. He doesn't say he is, but in Romans 12, verse 2, this is what he says. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is repentance. It is a changing of our minds and start viewing things like God views them and stop living in the direction we are living. Stop thinking the way we think about life. It's a complete break from the world. In fact, it is a 180 from the way the world would go. The world is going to go one way. Paul says you need to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. You need to change your thinking. You need to start going in the direction of God's will. In fact, the rest of the chapter, Romans 12, I encourage you to read it. Go home this afternoon, read all of Romans 12. But the rest of the chapter is a description of a changed life, a life that is changing direction, a life that soberly evaluates itself, a life that is using their gifts for God, a life that is demonstrating love to others, a life that is overcoming evil with good, a life that is being lived in accordance with God's will. There is a huge difference between just being sorry and repenting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, this is what it says. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. You know what the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow is? Action. It's action. It's following God's way instead of your way. It is action. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's saying I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to make different decisions. I'm going to go down a different road. The other day I went to my doctor, a new doctor. He's helping me some, so that's a great thing. I'm excited about it. But anyway, he said, this is going to be the treatment we do. And he explained the treatment that I'm going to go through and what I need to do. And I was excited about that. I'm like, okay, all right, some hope here. Let's go for it. And then he said, and along with this treatment, I need to tell you something, Todd. You need to change some other things. This is where I didn't like the information as much. He says, first of all, you need to stop eating sugar. Woo! If that's not enough, you need to stop eating bread. Now, bread and sugar are my favorite things. And then if you factor in the fact that potatoes turn into sugar, then we've just taken my other favorite thing off the... Well, I'm like, what? Although he did say you can eat bacon and eggs. I'm like, okay, well, all right. I don't know if that'll work for every meal, but I'll go for it, you know. But here's the thing. I listened to him. I regretted how I've been eating and my habits. But a day later, you know what I did? I had this huge bowl of ice cream. Huge bowl. The next day, there was more ice cream, so I needed to get rid of temptation. So I ate another huge bowl of ice cream. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you, Todd? See, I regretted it afterwards. I felt bad about it, but I didn't change my action. If you know what you should do and you don't change, what's the point? You don't. It doesn't help you. You have to change. You have to change. If we really want to move forward, we have to change the way we think and we need to change the way we act. That is repentance. which leads us out of our past and into our future, which is the last step. We need to realize our destiny. You need to realize your destiny. Now, what I mean by that is when the prodigal came back, he thought he would just go back and maybe sneak in as a servant. But the father had different things in mind. He had a better plan. When the prodigal came back, he restored him to sonship. He says, you are going to be a part of the family. You are not just going to be living as a servant. You're going to be living as my son. He was made for so much more than what he had understood. We've been made for so much more than what we understand too. John 10:10, I talked about this not too long ago. The thief comes, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to give us the chance to have a real future. And not just a future in heaven, which heaven is awesome, I'm excited about it, but a future that can start right now, today. A full life now, an abundant life now. In fact, the Greek word for life is the word zoe, which is not talking just about the flesh, it's talking about a quality of life both now and forevermore. Both now and forevermore. That's what Jesus came to give you and me. John 11:25 and 26, Jesus talking to Martha and Mary says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He came to give us life forever. A different reality of life that starts now and continues on forever. In spite of our sins, He has more in store for you and for me. It is important for us to realize that we can start over. Now, we can't go back and change our past, but we can leave it in the past and we can live in the present and looking forward to our future and enjoying a life of fulfillment in the Lord. Anybody know the name Roy Riggles? I believe is how you say his last name. Roy Riggles. That is Roy Riggles right there on the screen. That is Roy Riggles. Most people do not know his name, yet he lives in sports history as one of the biggest bloopers of all time. You may have heard this story. It was 1929. It was in the Rose Bowl, which at that time was the only bowl game in college football. California was playing Georgia Tech. It was in the first half, and Georgia Tech had the ball, and on a running play, the running back fumbled the ball, and Roy Riggles, the star center of the Cal Bears, and also a defensive tackle, scooped up the football and started running. But guess, there you go. Running the wrong way. He ran the wrong way. 65 yards in the wrong direction. In fact, the only thing that stopped him from going into the wrong end zone was that his teammate chased him down, caught up with him on the 1 yard line. He stopped, but Georgia Tech came down right behind them and quickly tackled him there. Cal was forced to punt from their own end zone, and the punt was blocked, and Tech was awarded 2 points. Now, at halftime, Roy sat in the corner of the locker room crying his eyes out, knowing that his football career was crushed. When halftime was over, the coach declared to the team, we are going to start the second half with the same team we started the first half with. And Roy was shocked. He said, but coach, I can't go back out there and face those people. But I want you to listen to what his coach said. Coach Price reached out his hand and he said, Roy, get up and go on back. The game is only half over. Wrong way, Roy got up. He went back into the game and he played the most inspiring individual effort in Rose Bowl history. I read that to you because I think it's important that we understand. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you have fallen, no matter how stuck you feel, there is still time on the clock. I can't tell you how much time, but there is still time on the clock. And you can change, and you can get back on the right track, and you can find an abundant life. And the only real question is, will you do so? I wish I could start over. Well, I got good news for you. You can.